We're getting used to a different world. Well, when I say getting used to, we're learning to tolerate or carefully navigating a world which does feel somewhat nerve-wracking. A semi-masked, perhaps vaccinated, but still rife with COVID-19 world, which is causing many of us to feel nervous about in-person gathering, concerned about the distance that seems physically or metaphorically to be a hallmark of the present day. And into this speaks our Pentecost story, a story which is about connection, about the breaking down of barriers of language and culture, of background, of division, a story of unity and transformation. And though it's a story of being all together in one place, it speaks to an age where we are relearning ways to connect. The distinction between online and offline, which incidentally my own kids and those in those generations don't see at all, has blurred. The old categories of what it means to be part of a worshiping community are breaking down, as is the ability of people all over the world to connect with our worship here and our community. And actually that is something that happened in that first Pentecost story. The usual categories which set people apart from one another were blurred and stretched and broken. The promise which Peter quotes from Joel, that the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, takes away the distinctions of who gets to be in and who gets to be out in this spiritual economy. Who gets to be a member of the club, who's excluded, doesn't work anymore. All are gifted, freely gifted with God's generous, prodigal, profligate Spirit. No longer are distinctions of culture, education, sexual identity, gender identity, skin color, religion, affluence, poverty, experience, age, ability, physical characteristics, online or in person. No longer are they barriers within this new way of the Spirit. Our distinctiveness is still important. They are relevant. The differences we have are relevant. The intersecting identities which make up who we are as people are celebrated. Diversity is welcome in this unity. Our me-ness is part of the gift God gives us, and part of the gift we are invited to share in community, gifts which we will be celebrating in our ministry fair after this service today. It strikes me every time I hear the Pentecost story that it's not that everyone suddenly understands Hebrew or Koine Greek and can hear Peter's message. It's that the message is heard by everyone in their own language. It's not homogeneity that is at the heart of this story, of this outpouring of the Spirit. It is diversity. I remember in my teens, a US Christian musician, I rarely would quote any US Christian musician, but a musician called Steve Taylor, who was kind of in the post-punk pop era, for those of you who like to locate music in its genres. I saw him at Greenbelt Arts Festival in England, me and 20,000 others, railing against the culture of a church which wants to make everyone the same. He even released his debut EP called I Want to Be a Clone, the title song of which contains the wonderful line, and I'm not going to sing it, "Be a clone and kiss convictions goodnight. Cloneliness is next to godliness, right?" The church which does not celebrate diversity is not the church of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. A church which does not freely welcome and affirm all for who and what they are is not the church which lives the love of God as poured out on all flesh without distinction. I committed today to starting off a series of thoughts that we will be sharing with you all over these coming weeks. We are calling it the Why I Am Here series. A number of us will share what this community means to us and why we continue to be committed to its flourishing, its growth, and its well-being. So for me, it's all of what I've just said. All that I have just talked about. And it's our aspiration and action to be a truly diverse and affirming community that keeps me deeply and profoundly connected to this parish. You could say, well, Alistair, you're here because you get paid to be. Fair comment. And it's not true. When I was offered and I accepted this position nearly a decade ago, my 9th anniversary is in a few weeks, and I accepted the job 8 months before I came here. Anyway, when offered this role as incumbent of St. John's, I came because of this obvious commitment to St. John's being the community we are and are becoming. A community that continues to ask questions of itself, a community that wrestles with how to live the values of justice that we hold, a community that seeks connection with one another and with the realities of the world which surrounds us, of which we are a part and which we are called to love. I do get prods every now and then from people asking me to consider other positions in the Anglican Church, normally because people are desperate for clergy. There have been and are many options for priests out there, and some places very keen to recruit clergy, including in our own diocese. I am not here because I need the work. I'm here because of you. And I believe because of the work the Spirit of God is doing among us and within us. I'm here because we are a Pentecost community, not perfect, yet being formed and shaped by one another and by God in our shared ministry. Our shared living, our shared worship, our shared learning, our shared action, diverse and yearning for more diversity, creative and seeking more creativity, loving and trying to be more so, outward looking, open-hearted, open-minded, a place where we acknowledge, as I said a long time ago, that we are flawed, fallible, yet faithful. Recently, Bishop Anna asked me how long I'd like to stay at St. John's, and I replied, I'd be happy to serve here till I retire. She responded by asking how long that was. And I said, probably about 16 years. Her eyes opened very wide at that point, and I won't tell you what reply she gave me. But it was obviously unexpected that I would feel so committed to and comfortable with a congregation. So in case you wonder, and I know rumors often start when an incumbent goes away on sabbatical, particularly when, like mine, part of the sabbatical is to do a life and ministry audit with a counselor and professor from UBC, I am not going anywhere to consider my next move. I am not seeking another position. I am blessed and privileged to lead this community and will happily and publicly recommit myself to our shared life and hope that you feel we can all do so as we continue into this season of renewal together. In our Pentecost story, we are reminded of our need for one another and to hear the different voices and languages which comprise this community, both this church community and the wider community to which we belong. We are being called to listen to the voices which are often pushed out, excluded or ignored, and to hear the whisper of the Spirit in one another. The fire of the Spirit is a burning fire to consume that which is not good in our lives and our community, a fire that fires our passion for justice. The wind of the Spirit is blowing away those things which cloud our vision, refreshing and revitalizing our common life. Perhaps the question for us as community is whether we are ready to take hold of that flame and wind, or whether we will seek shelter from the disrupting, disturbing, transforming life of the Spirit. That transforming life, that love, that new language heard at Pentecost of divine love and affirmation was the love that took the apostles away from fear and into the streets to proclaim good news. News of a new life on offer to all. News of justice and of the reign of the divine in the hearts and minds of all. A new life from which none were excluded. We will need to do this together. The power of Pentecost comes through the living Spirit in community. Though Peter became the spokesperson, it was in community that the Spirit was shed abroad. And indeed, it was to community that all were invited. We are called to be a community open to the Spirit and one another, and to the Spirit abroad and unconfined. This dangerous, transforming, inspiring, powerful, humbling, challenging, edifying, uplifting, creative, blessing, weeping, laughing, singing, quiet, prayerful spirit of love and grace. The spirit that prompts us to listen to the voices of today and root ourselves in the history of our spirituality. To move into what it is to be the church here and now, however that may be changing and evolving. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.